Nestled in the vast expanse of eastern Montana, where the earth rose and fell like the breath of a sleeping giant, Whispering Hills came to life. The hills in Macomb County weren't the jagged peaks of the Rockies that tourists flock to, but gentle undulating waves of green grass speckled with bursts of yellow wildflowers, mustard blooms, locals called them, painting the landscape in golden strokes as if the sun itself had spilled its light onto the soil. It was springtime when the rains had coaxed life from the parched ground and the sky stretched endlessly above, a pale canvas fading into infinity. No trees interrupted the view, no roads, only trails marked the way to the distant horizon, just hill after hill rolling into the distance, hiding secrets from the past in their folds. Elara had come here to escape. At 35, she was a city dweller by birth, raised in the concrete canyons of Chicago, where the only hills were skyscrapers and the only flowers were those wilting in corner bodegas. But after her divorce, messy, like a storm that uproots everything, she'd packed her old Jeep with a tent, a backpack, her digital camera, and a journal she'd never written in before. "Go to Montana," her best friend had suggested over coffee. "It's empty enough to find yourself." Elara wasn't sure about finding herself. She just wanted to lose the noise in her head. She'd driven for 2 days, crossing the flat Midwest into the open West, reaching the state line of Montana. Elara drove past Glendive, turned onto the first two-lane road she came across, and traveled north until she pulled off and onto a gravel road south of the Little Missouri River. The map app on her phone had glitched out miles ago, no signal, no directions, just intuition guiding her to this spot. Parking the Jeep at the base of the first hill, she hiked up, her boots leaving telltale signs on the green grass. The air smelled of earth and faint honey from the flowers. As she crested the rise, the view unfolded, layers of hills, each one softer than the last, dotted with yellow patches that glowed under the diffused light. A small pond nestled in a valley below, its surface still as glass, reflecting the sky's subtle blue. Sitting cross-legged on the grass, Elara pulled out her journal. The blank pages stared back accusingly. What to write? Her life story? The betrayal of her ex-husband, who had chosen his career over their marriage? Or about the emptiness that followed the divorce and the way her apartment echoed with silence? Instead, she sketched the hills crudely with a pencil, capturing their curves like ocean waves frozen in time. As the sun dipped lower, casting long shadows that turned the yellow flowers into fiery accents, a story began to form in her mind, not her own, but one born from this place. Long ago, the legend said these hills were the backs of ancient buffalo spirits, the native peoples of the plains. The Crow and the Sioux told tales of how the great herds once thundered across the land, their hooves shaping the earth into these rolling forms. But when the settlers came with their fences and plows, the buffalo vanished, leaving only their echoes in the wind that whispered through the grass. Elara imagined a young girl named Ayana from the Sioux tribe, living in the time before the railroads sliced through the prairies. Elara sat in silence, oblivious to the day's ending, while capturing the words in her journal. Ayana was 15, with hair like raven feathers braided with yellow mustard blooms for luck. Her tribe camped near the pond where the water was sweet and the hills provided shelter from the biting winds. But drought had come that year, turning the grass brittle, the flowers sparse, and sending the buffalo to greener pastures. The elders spoke of angry spirits demanding a sacrifice to bring back the rains. Ayana, curious and bold, didn't believe in sacrifices. She believed in action. One night, under a moon as pale as the daytime sky, she slipped away from the teepees and climbed the first hill. The ground was cool beneath her moccasins, the sparse yellow flowers brushing her ankles like tiny suns guiding her path. As she ascended, the whispers began, soft at first like rustling leaves, then clearer, voices of the ancestors. "The land remembers," they said. "It holds the stories of those who walked before." Ayana reached the top and looked out, hill after hill, endless, scarred, and barely alive. In the valley, the pond shimmered, but it was shrinking, its edges cracked like old leather. Determined, Ayana descended into the next fold, following a faint trail worn by deer. There, hidden in a dip between two hills, she found a spring, a trickle of water bubbling from the earth, surrounded by a dense cluster of yellow flowers. But guarding it was a spectral buffalo, its form translucent, eyes glowing like embers. "Why did you come here?" it rumbled, its voice echoing across the landscape. "I seek water for my people," Ayana replied, her heart pounding but her voice steady. "The hills are thirsty, the flowers wilt." The buffalo spirit lowered its massive head, snorted, then said, "I'm sorry, child, the hills know the future. They are sad." "But why?" Ayana asked, stepping closer. The buffalo spirit shook its head in anger before answering. the encroaching white settlers will take without giving. The ranchers and farmers will fence the land, and others will come and kill my kin for sport. Prove you will honor the balance as it should be, and the waters will flow." Ayanna thought of her grandmother's teachings, everything connected, like the roots beneath the grass. She knelt and plucked a single yellow flower, roots intact, pressing it into the soil near the spring. "I give back what I take," she said. Then she sang a song of gratitude, her voice carrying over the hills, blending with the wind. The spirit nodded, and as it faded into mist, the spring surged, water gushing forth and filling the pond below. Rain clouds gathered on the horizon, drawn by the harmony restored. Ayanna returned to her tribe as a hero, the hills blooming brighter than ever, yellow flowers carpeting the green like stars on earth. Alara closed her journal, the story spilling onto 5 pages in her hurried script. The sun was setting now, painting the real hills in hues of orange and gold. Had she imagined the whispers, or was it just the breeze? She stood, brushing grass from her jeans, and hiked down to the pond. Dipping her hand in the cool water, she felt a connection to the land, to Ayanna's tale, to herself. That night, camped under the stars, Alara dreamed of buffalo thundering across the hills, their hooves kicking up yellow petals like confetti. She woke refreshed. The noise in her head was quieted by the vast silence. Montana hadn't just given her escape, it had given her a story, one worth more than the words she'd written. Over the next days, after gaining permission from the landowner, Alara explored further from her camp. She hiked deeper into the hills, discovering hidden valleys where pronghorn antelope grazed, their white rumps flashing as they bounded away. She found flint arrowheads half buried in the soil, remnants of those who came before, and wild sage that scented the air when crushed underfoot. One afternoon, a sudden storm rolled in from the west, thunder rumbling like the buffalo in her dream. Rain pelted the ground, turning the yellow flowers into glistening jewels, and Alara laughed, soaked to the skin, feeling alive for the first time in years. She met a rancher named Tom at a small diner in the nearby town of Circle, behind a battered sign along the road reading Wooden Nickel. It served great food and coffee strong enough to wake the dead. Tom was weathered in his 60s, with hands calloused from years of mending fences. "Those hills," he said over pie, "they've seen it all. Dinosaurs, natives, cowboys, farmers, and even a few fool city folk like you." He chuckled, but his eyes held respect. He told her about the wildflower blooms after wet winters, how the mustard could stretch for miles, turning the land into a sea of gold. She told him of her adventure thus far, the story it revealed, and her desire to experience more and meet more of the local people. Tom smiled, told her about his wife's sister, Elsa, that owned a boarding house with reasonable rates. Inspired, Alara extended her stay. She volunteered at a local conservation group, helping plant native grasses to combat erosion. The work was hard, digging in the sun, hauling water, but rewarding. As she patted soil around a seedling, she thought of Ayanna's sacrifice giving back to the land. Her own life began to reshape. Calls to friends back home grew longer, filled with excitement instead of regret. She even started a blog, posting photos of the hills and snippets of her stories, titled Whispers from Montana. Months passed, and summer faded into fall. The yellow flowers withered, but the green hills endured, now tinged with brown. Alara knew it was time to go, but not forever. She'd return, she promised the land. Her new friends. Driving east, the hills receded in her rearview mirror, but they stayed in her heart. A reminder that sometimes emptiness is full of possibility. Back in Chicago, Alara unpacked her journal. The story of Ayanna had grown into a novella, words pouring out like the spring in the tale. She submitted it to a small publisher, and to her surprise, it was accepted. The Whispering Hills became her debut, a blend of fiction and truth, capturing the essence of that Montana landscape, its history, and the people there that work hard to live off the land and preserve the hills by giving back. Years later, readers would write to her saying the books in her blog transported them to those rolling fields, the yellow flowers vivid in their minds. Alara would smile, knowing the proverb was true, that single picture, out of all she'd snapped with her camera. The one of endless hills under a vast sky had sparked 1,000 words and more. It wasn't just a view, it was a world unto itself to be discovered by those seeking escape.